Hello everyone, it's me, your boy Dean. I'm here to give this piping hot tea. Hope everyone's having a good day today. I just got off work, so if my voice sounds a little strained, it's because I've been talking all day and I'm also tired. But I wanted to jump on here and just do a quick little podcast episode about the horrific Colorado Springs shooting at the LGBT club, Club Q. You know, the gunman is a 22-year-old young man who's the grandson of a Republican senator, I believe. And, you know, the whole situation is just really crazy. It really is. So I'm just going to play you all some news clips and come back with the rest of my commentary.
Again, in Colorado, where one of the people who helped stop the deadly rampage at an LGBTQ plus nightclub last weekend is sharing his story of courage. Police say Richard Fierro saved lives when the U.S. Army veteran tackled and pinned down the alleged gunman. Five people were killed at Club Q on Saturday. They've been identified as Kelly Loving, Daniel Aston, Derek Rump, Ashley Paw, and Raymond Green Vance. The suspect, Anderson Lee Aldridge, is still in the hospital, arrested on 5 counts of first-degree murder and 5 counts of bias-motivated crime. Danya Backus is in Colorado Springs with more on how the shooter was stopped. Danya, it's quite a story. Good morning.
It is quite a story. Good morning to you, Elaine. Richard Fierro says his military instincts kicked in and he was focused on eliminating the threat. Though he is being held a hero, he says he wishes he could have done more to protect the 5 people who were killed, including his daughter's boyfriend.
I'm not a hero, I'm just some dude.
Richard Fierro didn't think twice about stopping the gunman who opened fire in the middle of a Colorado Springs nightclub Saturday night.
I hit him with the gun, his gun, not mine. I grabbed it and I hit him with it. I kept hitting with it.
The U.S. Army veteran who was at the club with his wife, daughter, and her boyfriend, Raymond Green Vance, says he wanted to save his family.
That family was, at that time, everybody in that room.
Vance, along with Ashley Paw, Kelly Loving, and bartenders Derek Rump and Daniel Aston, were killed.
My daughter got to spend her last day with him, happy.
5 crosses have been placed here at the growing memorial outside of Club Q. The city's mayor says he wants his community to not be defined by the tragedy, but by the response.
Too often, society loses track of the victims of these sad and tragic events. We strive to give the victims the dignity and respect that they deserve.
Tributes continued Monday in Colorado Springs and other cities. The Denver City and County Building was lit up in pride colors overnight, while vigils were held in North Carolina and Washington, D.C.
Love one another. Be your true, authentic self.
Police are still determining the motive of the suspect, 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldridge, who remains hospitalized. He faces 5 counts of first-degree murder and 5 counts of committing a bias-motivated crime. Aldridge has not been formally charged yet. Fierro says he plans to see the suspect in court so he can know who got him. Elaine?
Well, Danya, what have you learned about who the victims were?
You know, I think at this part is when it really starts to sink in just who was lost and the victims. We've learned about Daniel Aston, who had just moved to Colorado Springs 2 years ago from Tulsa. He was a self-proclaimed master of silly business, a bartender and entertainer at the club. Then there was Derek Rump, who was remembered by family and friends as a kind person with a heart of gold. He was a bartender there. Kelly Loving was described as loving, caring, and sweet. She had just moved to Denver and apparently was visiting the club while on a weekend trip to Colorado Springs. Ashley Paw, 35 years old, was a mother and a wife. She also volunteered with an organization that helped children in foster care. And then there was Raymond Green Vance, who I mentioned in the story. He was here with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's father was one of those Good Samaritans who stopped the attack. His family described him as kind, selfless, and had a promising future. So Elaine, of course, you know, we do these stories, we know the numbers of people killed, and then I think the magnitude of the loss definitely starts to kick in once you learn more about who those victims were.
Absolutely, we're just beginning to hear their stories, Danya. Thank you so much.
Okay, so that's the latest with the attack. Now, ever since this attack happened on over the weekend, there has been a lot of discussions going around about rhetoric, because again, you know, the shooter was aligned with the right, from what it seems like. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about, you know, how did he fly underneath the FBI's, you know, watch for eyes? Because there is a video circulating of what appears to be him threatening to blow up the house that his mom lives in, and his mom calling the feds on him, and basically him live streaming and saying if anyone breaches that house, he was going to blow it up. And the fact that he got a gun a year later and walked into this club and just opened fire is just crazy to me. It really is. And you know what, from the pattern that's been going on, especially this year with these mass shootings, is a lot of these young men are being radicalized and just looking at certain conspiracy theories being posted online. And unfortunately, a lot of these conspiracy theories have been peddled by a lot of these conservative activists. You know, because I've been seeing a lot of conservatives say it's unfair that they're being blamed for this. Candace Owens, you know, went on a long Twitter tirade about it and even made a YouTube video about it, about how it's unfair that the right is being blamed for this. But I'm like, Candace, a lot of y'all have posted and spread a lot of conspiratory things about people. And, you know, I find it funny Candace Owens is saying that when she herself have been named in the shooter's manifestos before. Okay, the guy who walked into a mosque in New Zealand and killed people listed Candace Owens as one of his inspirations. Okay, so you know the guy who did the Buffalo shooting listed Tucker Carlson as one of his inspirations. And both of those people seem offended that they're being blamed for this crime, you know, even though a lot of facts haven't come out yet. But I'm sorry, it's not too far-fetched to see why people are thinking that. And I'm just going to play you another news clip because I like what this guy said right here. Oh, hold on. We gotta add. Okay. So.
Stocks people are chasing one victim around the world. Their list of targets is growing. That was a couple months ago. Doctors under threat from far-right activists for providing trans care. Boston Children's Hospital faces bomb threat after right-wing harassment campaign. There were three of those bomb threats. FBI charges Massachusetts woman with Boston Children's Hospital bomb threat, so they found one of the people. At least 20 Republican politicians have claimed that schools are making accommodations for students who identify as cats. That was before. The midterms. Here are three more from my colleagues in the last 3 weeks. As election nears, some conservative groups have ramped up anti-trans campaign ads. Far-right figures appear to be testing Twitter's boundaries for anti-LGBTQ speech. GOP senator targets TikTok influencer with anti-transgender taunt. And I'm just wondering, what could I have done different? Seriously, as reporters, what can we do different? Because there are 5 dead people in a strip mall, because that was the only place they felt safe as gay or trans people in this town in Colorado Springs. And I am trying to thread this needle here. I'm trying to say that this is happening. This targeted stuff has real life impacts. They say on the internet has real life impacts. And I'm gonna fail, by the way. I'm gonna, you know, freak out because it's happening. Because I wake up and I see that there are 5 dead bodies. But I think we have to have a come to Jesus moment here as reporters. Are we more afraid of being on Breitbart for saying that trans people deserve to be alive? Or are we more afraid of the dead people? Because I'm more afraid of the dead people. I don't want to wake up on a Sunday and see that all of these headlines came to fruition.
What do we do about public officials at local level, state level, federal level, who try to inject the fear of the very word transgender into school issues, that a transgender person might be trying to be on your son's or daughter's softball team.
Right, and that's the biggest worry, right?
Can't be allowed.
Right.
They're dangerous. Why are they dangerous? We never probe the motive of these politicians who cheaply, absurdly, and evilly throw that issue around.
Right, because of the attention economy that we live in. means they get more clicks for it, and they end up on Tucker Carlson. They end up on the highest rated show on cable news. And last night, by the way, Tucker attacked my colleague Brandy Zadrozny, who was co-behind on almost all of these stories. Not me, he attacked Brandy, of course, but he attacked Brandy. And he went right back into this idea that some they is trying to groom your kids, trying to sexualize your children, right?
Yeah.
Who's the they, first of all?
Yeah.
And second of all of her reporting was right. All of it was right.
Well, let me say, you're not doing anything wrong. You're doing your job. You're uncovering the truth. You're presenting it. You're shining a light on it. The question is, as with so many of these issues, are the people who need to hear the truth listening? Are they watching this? Are they reading your reporting? The answer, unfortunately, is no. They're living in a different ecosystem.
Yeah, and there is a long history of this. You know, I talked to this woman named Jennifer Mercier, who's a rhetoric professor at Texas A&M. And she was telling me about this thing called hate objects that come up in, you know, pre-fascist governments, where they take people they describe as degenerates, right? And you know, before Nazi Germany was, in fact, gay people who played with gender conformity, and they say they are contributing to the downfall of society. They are the reason that, you know, things cost more, that the crops aren't coming up, right? We have been through this in the past. It's very dark, and the people playing around with this don't take responsibility. They go right back into it. But again, these bodies are not in the ground yet, and they're being used as political props right now. So I am open to feedback. I want to hear how I can tell these stories better.
You're doing your job, as really just pointed out, Ben. Sadly, culturally, historically, if you've got two items you're selling, one is fear, the other is hope. It's easier to sell fear in this culture.
So, you know, I really enjoyed this clip because I agree with a lot of what the reporter Ben Collins has said. Okay, and you know, this is something I talked about last year and a good part of this year. There are a lot of conspiracies going around, and the LGBT community is being used as a scapegoat for a lot of things. You know, even with the Uvalde shooting, the people were going around, a lot of these conservative activists were going around saying the shooter was a transgender person, even sharing this random clip of a transgender person who looked nothing like the shooter. Okay, even with this poor, you know, Shanquella Robinson situation, again, you know, a rumor was circulated that the girl who beat her up was transgender, and that was a lie. Okay, you know, a lot of these rumors are just spreading about, you know, LGBT people in the LGBT community. And, you know, a lot of these people, when caught, they never apologize. They never go out there and correct it. They just double down on it. So, you know, when more information comes out about this shooting, it'll just be very interesting to see, you know, if this shooter, like the other shooters before it, names any of these right-wing people as inspiration for why he went into that club and shot people. And I will say this. If he names people like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro and Matt Walsh and all these other people who love peddling these conspiracies, I do think they would get sued. You know, just like I did in my Kanye West videos, you know, Alex Jones, that $1 billion lawsuit that he lost, that changed the game. It really did. Okay, it really did. That really did change the game. Because a lot of people are becoming tired of it. And a lot of these families are tired of this mass shooting gun violence. It seems that every month there's a mass shooting happening. Hell, not even 3 weeks ago, you know, the University of Virginia had a mass shooting incident. Granted, that was just three people, and that looked like, you know, revenge for bullying. But you know what? But you know, it was still scary. It is. It really is. It, you know, it's become very scary in America, and it has been, honestly, since 2015. Okay, I'm an American citizen, and I really don't feel safe in this country. I don't. And you know, people have had enough of it. they really have. And you know what? As more information comes out, I kind of predict that either the state of Colorado will be sued, or the FBI will be sued for the fact that this young man went underneath the radar and was on no watch list, but somehow got a gun. I don't know, even the club owner might be sued for how he got in, because if they can prove that he got let in legally and there was no search, yeah, you know, I think the club owner should be sued too. Okay, it's gone to the point where, you know, people love talking about freedom of speech this and freedom of speech that. Freedom of speech doesn't mean you get to go around there just peddling conspiracy theories without no consequence. Okay, freedom of speech doesn't mean you get to incite people and then you want to hide your hands. No, it does not. It does not. And a lot of people have forgotten that. And that's why, in my personal opinion, I do think, you know, going forward, people are going to have to sue now. You know, suing takes a lot of money, takes a lot of time, it takes some years. But ain't nothing better than if the judge rules in your favor and you are vindicated. And it stops. Okay, during McCarthyism of the 1950s, you know, the only way they ended was people calling it out and suing. Okay, during the 1990s, when all them tabloids was just printing out of lies and stuff and posting people's addresses and putting a lot of them celebrities in danger, that stopped because of calling out and suing. And the only way to stop all this is to sue the hell out of these people and sue these agencies and make them do their damn job. Okay, it's more than just going on Twitter and cursing people out. No, you got to take their ass to court and make them pay. And if anybody doesn't like that, then guess what? They need to get the fuck out the way. Because I'm an American and I'm tired of it. Another thing, and then one last thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, it seems like after these shootings, especially when it involves the LGBT community, it's like it's so much division. And, you know, it's like no one can come on one accord, because you always have this high profile person who wants to stick their nose in the situation and, you know, make it something it's not. And, you know, that's what I feel like Charles Barkley did, because he was trending for saying this about this shooting.
Charles Barkley is facing some backlash after he made controversial comments on CNN. The TV analyst pointed the finger at Black people and said that they are the main ones who disrespect members of the LGBTQ community.
And one thing has always disappointed me, Black people treat gay people, we are the worst when it comes to treating gay people. And that's one thing growing up, it really always bothers me. And I want to reach out to you and all my gay friends, all my transgender friends, and tell you, man, I got nothing but love and respect for you.
However, the comments he made are not having the effect he hoped for. Social media users noted his hypocrisy by sharing images of Charles dressed as a woman for comedic purposes. They also pointed out that the 22-year-old suspect that opened fire in the Colorado Springs gay club was a white male. One Twitter user commented that Charles can support the gay community without bringing down Black people. Do you agree? Let us know your thoughts. Charles Barkley.
Okay, so, you know, he was trending all online for that. Now, as someone who sometimes agrees with Charles Barkley says, because sometimes he does make good points, you know, I didn't like that. Because, you know, you done made it this gay versus Black people thing, and I'm tired of that argument. I really am. You know, I'm tired of it. You know, I feel, you know, Charles, you know, you reinforce the stereotype of the Black homophobe, you know, as if all Black people are just waiting with pitchforks and knives for every gay person they see, you know, and you deflected, you know, from something very serious. Charles is not a dumb person. He's not. I wish Charles Barkley would have got on there and said, you know, a question why the FBI ain't do their damn job. Or hell, even if he gone there and said something about the easy access of these guns, that's what you should have did. But you know, don't do something like that, because it just, all it does is make people more angry, and it just, it takes people off the focus at hand. And that's why I'm a big proponent of not looking towards celebrities as spokespeople. You know, a celebrity has a right to their opinion. They're an American citizen. He has a right to say that. But you know, I don't think he should be the first person to get called by a news organization about this. Which is ironic, because, you know, in the 90s, Charles Barkley famously said that news organizations should not be calling celebrities for their opinions, and that celebrities should not be role models. So it's very interesting how 40 years later, it's like his stance has suddenly changed by his actions. But that's a conversation for another day. But as more news comes out about this situation, it'll just be very interesting to see what happens. Because like I said, if he does say that he got this idea from conspiracy theorists and, you know, anti-LGBT rhetoric spewing from these conservative places, yeah, I do think lawsuits will be filed. And on that note, I'm your boy D, and I'm here to bring you this piping hot tea, and I hope everyone has a good night.